I entitled this "Comfort for all the hurting," for everyone, really, for all the hurting. I was looking in Southwest Art magazine, February, March 22, and in the magazine, it's a magazine that really doesn't have anything to do normally with biblical things or anything like that. It's basically an artist magazine where they promote and advertise their product and their stories about the individual artist. There happens to be a story about Sarah Smith, who's a Texas artist, in here. This story struck my attention because in all of these articles, the artists then are asked where they live, of course, and then it's an interview, so they're asked these and how they started and to paint and all this. And basically, then they are asked, what is their proudest moment? And of course, all of them then begin to say, well, I won this award, I won this award, I won this award, and this award, and this award. Sarah Smith did not say that. This is what she said. I volunteer with an organization in early 2021. I gave a class to young children of single mothers from abused backgrounds who wanted to make Valentine's Day cards. We collaged paper hearts of all sizes into cards with glitter. The faces of the kids as they created, and the faces of their moms who pretended not to know what we were doing, was priceless. Art really heals. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting because you don't ordinarily see that from that magazine. And I'm not criticizing any of the others, but I think what an individual that person is. She lives not far from here in Texas, and I didn't see that until after I'd read that. So, anyway, how do we comfort? What is comfort? What does God say for us? Comfort for the hurting. Comfort for the hurting. What does Psalms 119:50 says? This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. The same verse from the contemporary English Version Bible says, when I am hurting, I find comfort in your promise that leads to life. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I've been told by at least one woman that there's a Chinese individual in an institution here in town that is always there at this institution every time they go there. And he always asks if he can be of help. And when people suggest that he can be, he can't answer because he doesn't know anything about what's going on. Somebody else comes up and interferes. And this goes on and on, over and over and over again, and it's confusing and confronting. Why would that man be there and not really be able to undertake to do anything at all? Unable to answer the questions, and somebody else comes in and steps in and takes over for him. Why would that? The situation is uncomfortable because he comes up and asks you a question. You tell him, what do you need? What do you want? And he is asking, and then you say, and he can't answer. So what? makes it very uncomfortable. I've been told that women have a sense of intuition about things, and so maybe it's a woman's thing, but I've been there, and it's kind of weird. Situation kind of uncomfortable. And this with the border going on, and the border Epoch News has made it very clear that 9,100 and some Chinese communist people have come into this country, a large number of which are high-level Chinese in the Chinese government that are wanted by the feds, and they're arrested. It's also a true story that, you know, there's a big increase in the Chinese crossing into the United States from China, and high-level targets. But while that's going on, you know, Epoch News shows you a beautiful picture of the Chinese ship in the Havana Harbor, right here. Right here. A warship. A ship of war in the Chinese harbor, in the Havana Harbor. Well, you know, if you pay attention to all of this, and the administration, which announced over the weekend that we are woefully undersupplied with ammunition, reported in the news in an interview by the president with the news media. At the same time, the U.S. government is proposing to join back with UNESCO at a cost of $600 billion. Which is due right now if we join. If that doesn't concern you, at least if that doesn't cause you to be a little fearful, it ought to really concern you, I think. And if that were not worrisome enough, we just went through the prayer request. And we've got a rash of people that have serious illnesses, one right after the other. Freddie Coyle, Risa Rainey, others. That's got to concern us. Oh my. So, if we're not concerned, we're not really paying much attention. Freddie's situation as a special missionary for us and a friend and a true teacher of the word. And we have Coach. He's been out having issues. And then we have Wes Buckler. He's having issues. Had the surgery. Wasn't as simple as he thought it would be. All of us in the nation, in this nation, those of us of our means have been accustomed to much comfort. We've been much comfortable. Two cars in the garage, a boat, trailer, all this accoutrements that we have. What is comfort? The dictionary says ease. Number one definition is to soothe in time of grief or fear. And then it uses the word to console. Number two definition is to make less severe or more bearable. To relieve is the word that it gives. A noun definition is condition of ease or well-being. Number two definition is consolation in time of grief. Number three is help and assistance. Number four, one that brings comfort. Number five, capacity to give physical ease. What does God say? What does God say is comfort? Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Isaiah 49:13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy on the afflicted. Thessalonians 4:13-18, and I'm going to turn to that and read those verses, and you can give you a minute or two if you want to turn there too. Or 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide in you forever. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Isaiah 40:1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now we exhort you, brethren, or I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, to warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So what we've just read, if we summarize it in just three simple little statements, God comforts his believers with God's word. God encourages us to comfort each other. God encourages us to be gracious and comforting to all people. So, the story of the artist doing exactly what she should have been doing. Taken some of her time, talent, to share with women who had been abused and their children. Doing exactly what they should have been doing. Last night I got a call from my daughter, Risa, and she told me about Annika. Now I want to tell you the story about Annika, but not because... And it may seem like, but I don't want it to be that. that I'm bragging because she's my granddaughter and she did something worthwhile. I will tell you up front, she is not doing anything great. She's doing what she ought to be doing. What I think the artist in the very outset was saying. She's doing, and she gets great reward, you see, from the little things in life. And the art, yeah, that's her way of making a living, but she's not too worried about that. She's worried more about sharing. And so this is a story about Annika, and I got it secondhand from my daughter, Risa, who is proud of her daughter and should be, but it's not, and it should not be, because she's doing something great. It should be because she's doing what she ought to be doing. Annika, is the music minister in a really large church in Texarkana. In fact, it's so big that she has three rooms for her office and a choir room on top of that. And there's another room she could use if they had need for that. There's just a big church, and it's not as full as it was when the former presidential candidate was the pastor there, and his daughter now is the governor. She would go to work at this church on Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning, and she found that there was 70-year-old men that were meeting in the church. They were there every Saturday, and she poked in her nose in to see what they were doing, and they were wood carving. And so, as things would be, she came up and told them that her grandpa was a wood carver. And over a period of time, he would sit in with them, and they gave her a knife. She got a little piece of wood and piddled at it. She's not really interested in wood carving, but she was there because it was men that belonged to the church. And she talked with them. She'd look in on them, and she told me about it, so I sent her some crosses like I used to carve because I no longer can hold them in my hand and carve them without risk of cutting my finger. And she gave them some. And next time, she told me that they gave her a knife and a block. And next time she went in, they had her sit down and carve something. They gave her a little project to carve. I sent her some blocks of wood, and I'm going to share some of this with you, but anyway, when you start a carving as a professional carver, you start with a block of wood, and you carve what's not a shepherd boy away. And you design it. And so, it's a lot of wood to take off that's excess. And so they do what they call a rough cut, which is cut on two sides. So if you stand this sideways, then it would cut this on each side here, but not side on the sides. So a rough cut is that. Well, that takes off about one half of all the extra wood you have to carve. And then somebody had the audacious idea to put these blanks. So you carve the carving of a shepherd. You send the carving these people, and they load these blocks of wood in a lathe, make 32 of what they call roughouts out of them. So I sent, this is my design of, 25, 30 years ago, and I taught that with using that roughout in wood carving. So I sent those to Annika to give to the men. They took it on, and there were some others I sent, and they took it all four of them, and kept encouraging her to come sit with them and carve, And she would look in on them every Saturday, and she was working there at the church anyway. So, one of the carvers had a stroke. Annika visited the hospital, went in and talked to him. You know, 24-year-old girl going in seeing a 70-year-old man and all by herself. Take a little courage, probably, really. And he talked with him on several occasions. He was released from the hospital and went home. And over the last weekend, he was invited to his home. Now, he was nice to her, but his wife was in charge of some of the youth projects. And the youth people were against her, all of them. So his wife was not too friendly. And here she is invited to the home of this carver who had the stroke. But she went. Went, sat in with them, and there was five carvers instead of four. There was five carvers there, and she stayed with them and carved. They asked her for some more crosses. She got them. She went back to the apartment that day during that meeting and got some more crosses and took it to them. And while she was there, and I've got to tell you this story because it's just funny. But while she was there, the man that had the stroke told this story about himself. You see, he said, when I was a boy, I only had two names, a first name and a last name, and everybody in the school had a middle initial, and I didn't have a middle initial, so I wrote what I thought was the best middle initial possible, J. O.J. And so everybody calls me O.J. O.J. And I went all the way through high school with that name, and I signed everything Oliver J., whatever his last name was. They got down to the graduation ceremony, and they wouldn't let him graduate because he didn't have a birth certificate that said O.J. So he had to go to court and file suit to get his name changed on his birth certificate to graduate from high school. And he just chuckled about this and laughed about it, but thought it was funny. Well, anyway, Annika prayed for those men and talked with them. The wife came up to her afterwards, after the meeting was about over, and she said, my son is a farmer, and he brings all this stuff. She loaded her up, car up, with fruits and vegetables. And also, I mean, enough to feed a family that she was given to haul home. And as she walked out the door with the last box of vegetables, the wife said, well, come back anytime, sweetie. Sunday, the next day, all five of those carvers and their wives were in church for the first time since she'd started talking with them. And the wives were with them. Now, I don't know whether that'll last. I don't know. But you see, she did what she should have done. Which, when I look at myself and think, how many times have I failed to do what I should have done? How many times have I had an opportunity to really help somebody and I kind of thought about it, set it up in my mind, and set it up that I should do that, and oh yes. And there's a boy here then in this former member of this congregation anyway, that I did that with. And got kind of behind. I kind of regret that I didn't follow through, had the opportunity, was doing it, didn't follow through. How many times do we have opportunity to comfort somebody? We don't do it. We don't. So you see, what I'm saying is what God tells us. What God tells us, if I summarize his verses that we read here, if I summarize it, God comforts his believers with his word. Well, you got to read the word if you're going to be comforted. I mean, Pastor Mike and somebody else, Terry Posey, can read the word to you, but it's not like reading it yourself. And God encourages us to comfort each other. Which I think this church does a pretty darn good job of, and especially the women, I think. But we men are creeping up on you. I think we're working to get the men's prayer group going, and we do have some more men more active than they have been, and so I think that's good. God encourages us to be gracious and in comforting to all people. And that's hard to do because some people just flat aren't lovable and they aren't really ones that we would want to encourage. But that's what God tells us to do. And so, in this time, when we have the Chinese coming in, the government's threatening to take our money away, all of these things that they're talking about, God knows it's happening. God comforts us with his word. He encourages us to comfort each other in those times. And he encourages us to reach out to others and comfort them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your patience and your many, many blessings. We know, Father, that you make provisions for us that we take advantage of every day. The very air we breathe, the water we drink. And so many more things that you take care of. We are impatient. We are overly comforted in our lifestyle. And we really have been very, very blessed. We've been blessed with many, many opportunities. Many times where we have probably dropped the ball, Father, and not done what we could have done. So give us the strength and the energy, Father, and the ability and the mindset to be proactive and to seek out the opportunities to do what we should have done, should do in each and every one of those situations, should do as you have instructed in your word. We pray these things in Christ's name.